May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our text for this morning is the epistle reading, which includes these words. That is why faith was counted to Abraham as righteousness. But the words it was counted to him were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him, who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. This is our text. You may be seated. Dear saints, this morning we want to think about the promises made to Abraham, specifically the promise that he and Sarah would have a son in their old age, and that through that son all the nations of the world would be blessed. That account, of course, is recorded in the book of Genesis, and we didn't read it this morning. Instead, we read Paul's commentary on the promise made to Abraham in the book of Romans. So I suppose you could say this sermon is a commentary on a commentary, but we want to take Paul's words to heart, because according to Paul, the promise and the fulfillment made to Abraham applies also to us. So we want to understand, in light of Paul's words, in light of Paul's application, what does all of this, what does Abraham's faith mean to us? First, let's remind ourselves exactly what the promise was that God made to Abraham. Initially, he told Abraham that he would be the father, the ancestor, of a vast number of people, as many stars as Abraham could count, as many grains of dust upon the earth as Abraham could see, his descendants would outnumber even those things. Only problem, Abraham and Sarah were getting up there, and no son, no child at all. So Abraham reasoned that perhaps his servant would be his heir. This was a common practice in that day. When a wealthy couple who had servants had no children, the chief servant of the household would inherit everything. Maybe that's how God would do it. But God said, no. Your own son will be your heir. And then Sarah gets involved, and she looks at herself and says, well, I'm too old to have a child, so I'll send my servant Hagar in to Abraham, and she can conceive and bear him a son. And so it happened. That son's name was Ishmael. So Abraham figured, there we go. Problem solved. There's Ishmael. And God said, no. You and Sarah will have a son. By this time, Abraham is almost 100 years old, and Sarah is pushing 90. There is no way. Even in our day and age, with all the medical advancements we've made, a couple that old simply does not have a child. It is impossible. It was an impossibility for Sarah and Abraham to have a son. That is, until the promise of God came along. Paul tells us that Abraham looked at himself. He examined himself. He considered the state of his own body. And what did he find? In his own eyes, he considered himself as good as dead. And then he thought about Sarah. Never had a child. Far beyond childbearing years. And yet St. Paul tells us that Abraham, even taking all of this into account, taking into account what his eyes saw, what his mind knew, what his heart felt, despite considering all of that, his faith did not weaken. His reason said no. But God said yes. Abraham had faith. God had made him a promise, and God always, always keeps his promises. In hope, Abraham believed against hope. He did not waver concerning the promise of God. Instead, he gave glory to God, and his faith grew stronger. He was fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. So writes Paul. What do you see when you look at yourself? If you look honestly, if you truly consider yourself according to God's word, what God's word says about you and about every human being, you too should see someone who is as good as dead. In fact, Paul says in Ephesians that you and I were dead in our trespasses and sins. Spiritually dead. Oh yes, physically alive for a while. But as we all know, one day death will get every one of us. Or think about it this way. God is good and holy and righteous, and we desire to measure up to that standard. In fact, Jesus tells us to be perfect, even as his heavenly Father is perfect. In fact, God's law just heaps upon us one command after another, one thing we're supposed to do after another. Want to keep the law? Want to keep God's law? Turns out the rules are pretty simple. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. Simple rules, impossible for us to keep. Another time when Jesus was talking to his disciples about the rich, he tells them that it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. Who then can be saved? Paul tells us that no one is righteous, not one. We are as good as dead. As we stare into the mirror of God's law, we can come to only one conclusion. Our situation is impossible. That is, until the promise of God comes along. Now, we recognize that Abraham and Sarah, having a child in their extremely old age, we recognize this as only something that God could do. This must have been a miracle. It was promised. God did it. But that's not even the greatest miracle in the story of Abraham. That's not the greatest miracle that Paul recounts for us when he tells us about Abraham's faith. For you see, despite the great faith that Abraham had that he would bear a son with Sarah, Abraham was in the same sin situation that each one of us is in. Abraham, according to his nature, was not right with God. But what does Paul say when he quotes Genesis concerning Abraham? His faith was counted to him as righteousness. Abraham was right in the sight of God. Why? On account of some intrinsic goodness that he had? No, on account of his faith. He trusted the promise of God. And that trust was reckoned to him, was allocated to him, not only as faith and trust, but as righteousness. He was right in the sight of God. Abraham was justified by faith in the promise, faith that he would bear a son, faith that an heir of his would come who would bless all the nations of the earth, faith that the Messiah was promised, our Lord Jesus. Jesus is the fulfillment of the promise made to Abraham. Jesus tells us in the book of John that Abraham saw the day of Jesus, and at it he rejoiced. The words "it was counted to him" were not written for Abraham's sake alone, but for ours also, St. Paul tells us. Abraham is an example of great faith, to be sure, an example that we should strive to emulate, but he is more than that. Paul recounts the faith of Abraham for another reason, to remind us that the faith that Abraham had was accounted to him, was reckoned to him as righteousness, and this is a reminder that our faith is reckoned to us as righteousness. The saving power is not in the faith. The saving power is in God's hands. The saving power is the fact that Jesus Christ died and was raised from the dead to save us sinners. That is where the power lies. Paul continues, "It will be counted to us as righteousness who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification." What was impossible, our reconciling ourselves to God, our uprightness in the sight of God, Jesus accomplished. He who was crucified for our transgressions, God raised from the dead. By this work, we are justified. Sin is forgiven. With man, this is impossible. On your own, this is impossible. But all things are possible with God. God keeps his promises. We have a God, as Paul writes, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Abraham, as good as dead, lived by faith, faith in the promises of God, and he and Sarah received a life, the life of their son Isaac, and eternal life. We, though dead in our trespasses and sins, have been raised from death. We have been given life, life through the Heavenly Father's Son, the descendant of Isaac, Jesus our Lord. This life we receive through faith. Our righteousness is granted on account of faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. We are who Paul is talking about, for we share the faith of Abraham. We are God's people. We are Abraham's descendants, not by flesh, but by faith. We are the new Israel, God's church. We are the heirs of the promise. God promises, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. God promises that in Christ your sins are forgiven. God promises that you have passed from death to life. God always keeps his promises. Praise God that we are counted righteous, we who believe in him who raised our Lord Jesus from the dead. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.